I like that song, "Shall Rest by the Side of the River." One of these days we're going to get rid of these old bodies. We're going to have a new body. Some of us are getting decrepit. They've got to put these rails up to help us get up here on the platform. And hopefully we don't fall when we go down. When we get to heaven, we won't have to worry about any of those things, will we? We'll be able to hit every note just perfect and not be proud about it, and sing with the chorus in heaven all through the years of eternity. Years, I guess there's no years in eternity, it's just endless time. And yet, no, it's not time either, is it? It's eternity. So I'm looking forward to that wonderful day. I'd like to look, if you want to follow along with this, over in Psalms, the 42nd chapter. I'd get two different kinds of responses if I said two different words here this morning. If I said, fire, 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 I've got everybody's attention and they wonder what's going on. If we had to have a fire alarm here, and at Bible school, when that thing would go buzz, 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 it meant that that's a fire alarm. And hopefully you've been told what to do when there's a fire, to go to a certain place or to go orderly out of your rooms, not just mass chaos, everybody rush for the door and nobody can get out the door. That would bring one response. But if I use the word water, look at that beautiful water. I always like to go down 5 Highway and the little park over on the right-hand side if you're going towards Ava. And if you drive off of the highway and down through there, that little spring flows down over the rocks, comes down and makes little pools, and then flows down over the rocks and more little pools. And in the summertime, children like to go dangle their feet down in the water. Every once in a while, they find that the rocks are slipperier than they thought, and then there's a big splash, and they land right in the middle of it. And it's just refreshing to sit there and listen to the water ripple down over the rocks. And the Word of God is spoken of as like the pure water of the Word, cleansing, purifying the Word of God. And this illustration in Psalms 42 begins here. Now maybe we should just bow our heads for prayer before we read the Word. Dear Father, we're so thankful this morning for the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. And we're thankful for the holy Word of God that can cleanse us and keep us from those things that would pollute us, Lord. We're so thankful for the pure Word of God. We pray this morning that Thou will take the Word and apply it to each of our hearts personally. And help us, dear Father, that we can be encouraged and strengthened because that we know that Thy Word is a foundation that will never let us down. Just have Thy way in this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude, that kept Holy Day. That's what we're doing today. We've come with the multitude of God's people. We've gathered together like the scripture tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As a manner of some are, especially in as we look forward to his appearing, the love of many wax cold and they would rather be out on the lakes on Sunday or at home in the reclining chair. And they're not hungry nor thirsting after the things of God. But we're here gathered together, and we're, I believe, probably as we are here singing the songs, the hymns of Zion, and the wonderful songs that have been passed on by down by godly men, that our hearts have been poured out to the Lord. And the world may say, where is thy God? You can't prove it in a test tube. You can't prove it in the laboratory. You can't do this and you can't do this. But God proves it right down here in our hearts. That satisfying portion. While we're here this morning and singing and praising his name and giving glory to God, it's God that his presence, his spirit testifies with our spirit that we're his, we're one of his. And our heart longs for more of the water springs of God's holy word. We love the word of God, and it is that which, as we over in the 119th Psalm, it says, a young man, how can he cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's word, God's holy word, taking heed to it, not just reading lightly over it or skimming over it to try to say that we've had our devotions, but because we love it, we take heed, we dig in and find the gems, we find the wonderful gold mines that are in God's holy word, and it's good to our soul. But it says this little heart panted after the water brooks, and so panted my soul after thee, O God. It brought to my mind a picture. Happened to see a scene over in Africa. And it was a pathetic scene. It was when there was an awful drought going on. And I don't know what these little deer were called. They were small. I wonder if they're not sort of like this little hart, which is a small deer, panting after the water brooks. But animals have to have water. They have to have water. And humans have to have water. Without water, we don't get very far. That's one of the first things that we miss when the electricity goes off. Our wells don't work, and there we go. We don't have water unless we happen to have a spring or a place that we think that is safe to drink out of. I talked to a pump man just the other day, and we were talking about this, and he said, well, you know, he's been putting in quite a few of these hand pumps. People want to be sure that they've got water. If electricity won't bring it up, some of them will really put quite a stream of water out. But he said, you know, what you could do is get you a couple solar panels and fix it up so the electricity goes off. It'll still work. Well, if it's too cloudy or a stormy day, you might still have to wait a while. But in this scene that I saw in Africa when this awful drought was on, and these little deer were trying to come down to where they'd been used to drinking. And they have to be really careful. Thankfully, we don't have alligators and crocodiles, at least that I know of, right in this area. If you go a little bit further south down towards Florida, then you've got some of those problems. But even when there's not a drought, when there's lots of water, then they can sort of pick the safe places because they know that in the shallow places, the alligators can't hide too good, but they can really sink down, and all you might see is two little eyes sticking up. And it might look like an old log out there and some of the bark on it sticking up. But they get to where that they can sense those things, and they'll slip down to the water, and they'll look, they're alert, their eyes are watching, and as they're stretching their neck out ready to get down to the water, their eyes are glued on everything, watching something. But the sad thing is when the time of drought comes on, then the water goes way down and there's not much water anywhere. And where there is water, there's mostly crocodiles and alligators in there. And those poor little things, they'll slip around this way and that way and try to get in a place where there's not something that's going to cause them danger. And I've seen the pictures that showed how that they would have their neck out sipping and all of a sudden this big mouth would come right out of the water, grab their head and give them a twist and go under, and they always twirl when they get them underneath where they can drown them, and that poor little deer, that's the end of him. Well, aren't you glad we don't have to come to those dirty, polluted, muddy water holes where there's danger all around, that we can come to the pure streams of living water that the scripture speaks about. Jesus told the woman at the well that this water that I have to you is a well of water springing up within you, and if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. And she said, I want that water. I want that water. That sounds good. And some way Jesus, I believe, was able to get the spiritual truth across to her that it was more than just water that you drank this way, but it was water that springs up within you, a well of water, something that supplies you and satisfies you day by day. And I hope this morning that every one of us came today expecting God to speak to us and to deal with us. In the Sunday school classes, as we speak about the things of the Lord, that we rightly divide the truth and we don't try to dodge issues and try to dodge around and say, but oh, that's hitting too close to me. I enjoy this little favorite. I don't want to call it a sin, but it, you know, something I sort of have questions mark. But and so we try to dodge the issue, but we just come and we love the truth. We love what God has given us. We love every bit of it. And if it hits close to us and if it digs around our roots, if we get our branches trimmed off, we just know that God is doing it for our own good. He wants to get the dead wood cut out of the way. He wants to have more than just leaves. He wants to have something that will be real fruit, that will be produced so that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. And this little heart pants after the water brooks. It pants after the water brooks. It's got to have water. And you and I have to have God's word. We have to have more than just a dead, cold, formal way of religion. It's much more than that. It's streams of living water. The Holy Spirit abiding within our hearts and living there. And there is life and hope and joy, and there's something that is real. No wonder the songwriter said, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. He had experienced it himself, and he knew he was drinking from the wells of living water. Well, the world hangs out around, and they look on, and oh, they can't understand why you're so burdened down with all of these restrictions and all of these things you can do and you can't do, and they just can't understand how you can ever make it. Well, to real Christians, it's not restrictions, it's not things you can do or can't do, but it's God's protection for us as he puts up the guardrails along the steep, dangerous places. He warns us about, if you want to talk about it, the alligators and the crocodiles, and one that's worse than any of them is Satan when he comes around and tries to destroy us. God's word will stand, and God's word is something that will build us up in the faith. But the devil comes at us as an angel of light and as a roaring lion. And sometimes he brings suggestions to our mind. And this is one thing that we need to think about, and we need to know how to handle this only through the help of God, and young people especially and older people alike. The enemy will come to you and he'll act like an angel of light and he'll accuse you. He's an accuser of the brethren. He still is. He was back there and he still is an accuser of the brethren. And not only that, he'll bring some suggestion to your mind. He'll bring a thought against someone. And you know, if you can get to where that when those things come, you can just identify it and say, that's not right. That's Satan. That's not, I don't agree with that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And the scripture says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And it's important that we're able to identify the working of Satan so that we can, by the grace of God, resist him and allow God's word to come in and cleanse our heart and make us clean and keep us clean. Help us to live a holy life. We can partake of those living fountains of water, the springs of living water, and we don't have to bow down to the dirty, polluted waters that Satan has to offer us. We've left those things of Egypt behind. We've left the dry, thirsty land, the wilderness life. We've left that behind. And now we can enjoy the milk and honey, those great clusters of fruit that they came back from. There was real fruit there in the promised land. Well, he said in verse 4, when I remember these things, you know, during the night hours, in verse 3, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night. And I hope that that's so much our desire to get close to the Lord, that in the night hours, sometimes we're weeping, praying before the Lord, that he will give us of his presence, and he'll be close to us in the time of tribulation, the time of the heaviness that we talked about in our memory verse today, going through times of heaviness. The Lord is able to be right there with us in the night hours and keep us and hold us up and encourage us. And there may be tears that are shed, and yet there can also be tears of joy to realize that God has answered prayer again. He has avenged himself of the enemy. Satan was defeated and driven back, and the Bible says that if we resist him, he'll flee from us, and that's exactly what happened. As we resist him, the devil cannot stand in front of the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Victory in Jesus. And then we come to the house of God, and this is what keeps us. This is what keeps our young people. This is what will hold us together as a family, is God's presence. If we don't have God's presence in our midst this morning, and if we don't have God's presence at our family altars, in our home, and our time together, then we have nothing to offer our people or our family or our neighbors or anyone else. But if we walk in the presence of God and have his presence, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit within our hearts and lives, and know how to get through and pray through all the way through to glory until God comes down and touches the altar of our heart, then we have something to share. And it's something that is appetizing, a lot better than a hot dog or a fish fry or a ball game. Those things are fun for a while. They satisfy, but a few hours, you're ready for some more. But this is something that truly satisfies the soul, just to know that all is well between my soul and the Lord, just to know that God has answered prayer again. When the devil said, there's no way out, looks like you've come to the end, looks like that, where's your God now? And he comes accusing and all that he has to say. But we can say, because of the grace of God, God has defeated the enemy again and proved himself to be above everything that would hurt one of God's little ones. Sometimes we feel like in verse 5, and we ask ourselves, have you ever talked to yourself? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why am I feeling so blue today? Why does it seem so cloudy? Why do I feel like this? I've been going through a time of maybe struggles. I've been going through a time of heaviness, through manifold temptations. The devil has put the pressure on. And we ask ourselves that question, and then the answer comes back strong and true. Hope thou in God. Don't put your hope in these infirmed bodies or in my talents or my abilities or my muscle or my beauty or handsome, whatever. Don't put your trust in those things, but hope in the true and the living God. For I shall yet praise him. Lord, I'm going to come out from under this heaviness. God's going to give me the victory. God's going to take me through. He's going to give me the victory. He's done it in the past. He's proven himself, and he'll do it again. And he'll do it until we come to the very end of our life and leave this old world behind. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. We're pretty human, aren't we? Every one of us can know we've gone through these things. We've gone through trials. Some of you may be going through them right now. And it may look, the devil may be wagging over your shoulder and talking to you and telling you there's no hope for you. You're just down as far as you can go. And there's no hope for you. You might as well just give up. You might as well just throw it all to the wind. But tell him he's a liar. He's the father of liars. And God can get the victory over him. And by the grace of God, we can be victorious. So he said, therefore I remembered, will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites in the hill Mizar. Look back to where God has given you the victory in the past. Those highlights, when you cross the Jordan River, when you cross the Red Sea, so to speak, in your spiritual life, and those times of victory, and think, faith is the victory. Faith in the blood of Jesus gives us the victory. And he did it then, and he can do it again, and he can do it now, and he will do it by the grace of God. He will give victory. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and the billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. He can give you a song in the night. Maybe you can't sing too loud because you might wake your companion up or somebody else that's around. But you know, your heart can just be lifted to the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And just give all the glory to God. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I a mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. Oppression of the enemy. He did the same thing to Job. And Job said, I reached out on this side and I couldn't perceive God. I reached out here and I couldn't perceive. And here. But when I'm tried, he said that he was going to come forth as gold tried in the fire. The heat was on and the pressure was on, but he stayed steady. And God proved himself that he was true. And it cleansed all that, the pollution and the other things came to the top and were swept off. And God could see his very countenance in the life of Job, that pure gold. And I believe he can do the same to us as if we're willing to stand steady in the time of oppression. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Here he said, hope thou in God. And that one scripture I like especially, hope maketh not ashamed. If you hope in God, you won't be ashamed. And I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. That's personal. That's just between you and the Lord. He is my God.